Well, as you've heard, there's no question of the Egyptian media reporting what's been going on in their country in what you might call an objective manner. But me saying that assumes that you and I both know what objectivity is, and that ain't necessarily so. Stephen Maris is the author of Objectivity in Journalism.
It's a much broader thing than just in journalism, of course. Objectivity has influenced literature, history, the law, and it's generally related to a scientific idea that you stand separate to the facts, that the facts exist independently in the world. In journalism, it's got a different kind of character set. I guess it took root on a different soil. So some of the key issues were that you separate facts from opinion, you present facts in a rather detached way, and also that you're fair and balanced in your approach. One of the things I think it's important to note in journalism, though, there's extra steps. One is there's a process that supports objectivity in journalism. So that might be verification. And also there's a thing called that a lot of scholars call style or a language game, which is there's an idea that you put an invisible frame over the world, that you report as though you're not there, that the facts speak for themselves. And that's the kind of classic idea.
And that you don't have an opinion about something.
Well, I think the classical definition was, yeah, you leave your opinions at the door. There's a longer tradition there to do with the way in news practice in America, especially in the 19th century, editors insisted on opinion being in certain pages and news elsewhere. But, yeah, you leave your opinions at the door, and that's often led to a contentious issue or a coexistence of how do people who have values report objectively. And we see this even today in terms of, you know, left-wing bias at the ABC or right-wing bias at the ABC and so on.
Yes, I have to say the ABC always disputes that there's any bias at all. But there are some publications, both in Australia and in other parts of the world, that clearly have a worldview. If you think of, say, The Guardian in the UK, or if you think of The Australian here, they have worldviews and they're not trying to go straight down the middle. But could you argue that they're reporting objectively?
I think you can. I think, but it depends on, again, how you shape the term. Objectivity doesn't need to rest on the idea of being a view from nowhere. So classically, objectivity was about taking your opinions out of the news, taking your views out of the news, taking opinion away from facts, taking your values away from your judgments. And you were kind of left with this view from nowhere, to the point where in the early days of the BBC, they were anxious of giving newsreaders, allowing them to appear on screen because they didn't want to give the news a face.
That's it.
But I think
also, and I speak as a long-time radio presenter, it's probably for the best.
But I think what's happened is that there's an acknowledgement, and I'm picking up on Jay Rosen's term here, that there can be a view from somewhere. But then the challenge is you're not taking away opinion, you're not taking away values. What you're doing is that you're adding a kind of trained process, a process of interpretation and judgment to the situation or the facts. And so it's more of an additive discipline that is brought to bear on the report. I think that we've, in a sense, set the bar of objectivity too high, and I think journalists in particular have drawn on a very pure idea of objectivity, which is that you have to get rid of all presuppositions in what you're doing, that you have to get rid of all views. And I think that's too high a standard. I think it's too strict. I think there's a more achievable standard, and it's the kind that you achieve in law and other areas, which is that you check your prejudgments and your prejudices, because reporting is not about taking yourself out of the picture. It's about actually trying to make sense of the world for the reader.
How far can we stretch it, though? Because as I've said on this show several times, and I'm not the first person to observe it, we used to argue about what the facts meant, and increasingly we argue about what the facts are. Now, that must be shaped if we're allowed to bring a worldview to how we report.
I think that in a sense, has always been the case. You know, the pure form of objectivity where facts exist in the world on their own is the problematic version. They don't speak for themselves. They're always framed. They're always interpreted. And there's a technical word that a lot of scholars use, facticity.
Facticity.
This is facticity. It's a lovely word. A lot of people laugh when I use it. But it's essentially the tests that people use to turn facts into facts. Not everything's a fact. Yeah, and you might get a phone call and say, well, such and such is involved in this form of graft. Well, until you've had that verified or checked, few times, it may cross the threshold of facticity and then you start to use it. But if a lot of news doesn't cross that threshold and stays in the background of the report. So I think this idea that facts live in the world on their own and are just kind of, you simply reflect them as a reporter, is the view that is increasingly being problematic for a lot of good reasons.
But at the same time, we're seeing emerge in this country and has been for a while in America, the fact checkers. So now we've got PolitiFact Australia, Peter Fray's been on this program, in fact. The ABC set up a fact-checking unit. PolitiFact Australia's got a relationship with Seven. This is clearly something that at least the decision makers in these organisations think there's an appetite for.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of points I'd make there, and I should disclose that Peter Fraser, a member of my department in a sense, is an adjunct fellow, and I've collaborated with Peter. Before I talk about fact-checking, I think it's really interesting to think about why objectivity emerged in the US in the 1920s. What people argue is that basically there was two sets of concerns. There was concern over propaganda and concern over public relations. There was a real concern over what was called a famine of facts, that facts were malleable more than ever. And we're talking about post-World War I when there was, you know, full-on propaganda and so on. So out of this, journalists adopted objectivity not as a scientific viewpoint, but almost as a way to say we have to have a faith in facts in order to stabilize the world, to hold off the chaos, to create order and find certainty in this drift, because there was an incredible feeling of drift in the 1920s. And as journalists professionalized themselves, they were able to say, well, we're objective, we're kind of using science to apply to the facts. And so that was their position in the world.
Yeah, that's a kind of market opportunity, isn't it?
Indeed. And it was coming off the back of partisan journalism. So, you know, there was a commercial element to this. And I think what's interesting about objectivity is that it's never been alien to a commercial environment. It was born in the fire of commercialism. But what is really interesting about fact-checking is I think those same anxieties from the 1920s or the post-World War I period are still with us today. There's anxiety around propaganda. There's anxiety around public relations. There's anxiety around the malleability of facts. And I think fact-checking, I've been thinking about what's this nostalgia or yearning for the fact again. Mm. But objectivity is rarely mentioned. I mean, it has been mentioned by Malcolm Turnbull in the context of fact-checking. And but what's interesting there is that I think two things are going on. One is that punters, readers are looking for certainty in a sea of information.
Stephen, the news media landscape is increasingly complicated. There's a 24/7 news cycle now, several news cycles a day now, and increasingly you've got what was thought of as news media content generated and provided by people who are not professional journalists. Do you think objectivity changes in that environment, or is it something we should sort of cleave to and keep talking about?
Well, I think we have to talk about it in some senses, but one of the things that is really interesting is that it matters in different ways for different people. For people at the ABC, that it matters because it's in your governing legislation.
It certainly is, and I look at it every day.
For consumers, you know, even though objectivity might have fallen out of fashion in academic circles, if you read the moderation comments to many reports, they're saying this isn't objective enough, we want more objectivity. It's a valid criteria of media performance for the public. I think for professionals, it's a key term in media ethics, but it doesn't appear in the Code of Ethics. It never has in Australia. And politicians care about it because they can use objectivity as a tool to discipline journalists when necessary. So objectivity, I think, is changing all the time. And that's one of the things I wanted to bring out in my research. With new technologies, new channels, it's changing all the time. So it's not like the internet brings a distinctively new moment. But what I've noticed, you know, I think definitely in the blogosphere, there's a very healthy and robust criticism of objectivity and even a dismissal of it at points. There is reinvention happening. You know, some people are talking about aggregated objectivity, where through multiple perspectives and multiple facts, you build up a better picture of the whole than you would on your own. So this might come through collaborative sites. But one of the important things about around the new media is that I think objectivity isn't just about representing the world like a camera. It's not about mechanical accuracy. It's about trained judgment. The conditions may change, but the problem is the same. So you need to continue to verify, you need to continue to check your sources, and that's harder in an age of crowds and crowdsourcing and Twitter feeds. You need to find the facts in the feeds, and that's really the new challenge for trained judgment, I think.
Food for thought, Associate Professor Stephen Maris from the University of Sydney, and you'll find details of his book, Objectivity in Journalism, on the Media Report homepage. Just go to abc.net.au/radionational.